of people say, well, it's your conscience. It's the mirror. It's your self-talk. It's all these areas. Not what it is. It's called your alarm clock. Let me explain. There are times in your life that the biggest problem you have, you know what it is? Going to bed at night. You're so excited about what you're doing, you say things like this. If we could do it without sleep, I could make a killing. I can't wait for the tomorrow to come. I am so enthusiastic about where I'm going, I have no interest in sleeping. And then there's the other side of the alarm clock. The other side of the person. And the other side of the situation, and what is it? You can't get to bed early enough. And it takes an alarm clock, 13 snooze buttons, a crane to get you out of bed screaming. What's the difference between when you couldn't sleep and when you can't sleep enough? In my opinion, it comes down to one thing. When you couldn't sleep, you knew exactly what you were doing the next day and you were excited about it. When you can't get up, you're an automatic pilot. You don't know where you're going. You're going through the motions. You drove by a building the other day and you looked up and you said, when they build that 16-story building? Hello? McFly? My whole point is this. You've only been driving by it for how many times? You're an automatic pilot. You drove home the other day also and said, man, that was a short trip. I don't remember driving home. You didn't drive home. All I'm asking you to do is realize we go in and out of active and non-active stages in our life. And really understand the importance of an alarm clock. Because the alarm clock will tell you the truth. There are times I get up in the morning, I love it, man. I get up, and you know what's so neat? I mean, I'm up, I'm already ready, I've already read, I've walked, I've had my moments, Marty and I have talked sometimes, we are ahead of the day, and the alarm clock goes off, and both of us look over and say, we're more committed to life than that thing is. There's no better feeling. But what I'm asking you to do is realize something, and that is this. If you want to change things in your life, you change. And realize if right now you're having the most difficult time getting out of bed, it's because you have not designed clearly, well laid out goals for you and your life. That's the whole reason. And I will be talking about goals in the latter part of this program. The most important is this. There are two types of people in the marketplace. There are basically two types of situations when you look at the triangle change. There is A and there is B. A, all you want to be is being A 51% of the time. And you are going to have one awesome year. An A, you know what an A is? Very simple. Follow along with me, folks. An A, they get up more often before the alarm clock than after the alarm clock. They have developed the disciplines, and that D word is the most powerful word of all. They have developed the disciplines to be working on a skill. Terry Bradshaw, I think the world of him. He's real. But the bottom line is, I coach football, I coach soccer, and I asked Terry, he said, Terry, what do you contribute your success to? You know what he said? He said, I've learned not to get bored with doing the same thing over and over. I throw the football 1,000 times a day because I love it. An average kid throws it 100 times a day and gets bored and makes a game out of it. Anybody in this audience ever seen the movie Forrest Gump? Now you know why you loved it. There's not one of us listening to this audio program that wouldn't like to play ping pong or run like he did. He had the focus on the discipline to do what he was doing that moment and not be distracted by anything else. If you have the disciplines and you're working on a skill, that means your mind is alive. What that has done is that has created through your own choice what we call upward consistent growth in your life. That means your knowledge is alive. If you haven't seen the movie Phenomena, go see it. No, I don't work for Blockbusters. But I want you to realize, those of you who've seen it know exactly what I'm talking about. It's not the best movie, it's not the worst movie, but I think it's a must-see movie. John Travolta living in a town, right? Nothing's happening much. Guy are hanging around his beer buddies, and all of a sudden, whack, his brain starts growing. I'll never forget it as long as I live. I'm sitting watching this movie, and I'm thinking, wow. And all of a sudden, he walks into the bar. Under his breath, he was kind of almost ashamed to say it. He says, I'm reading 3 books a day now. His beer buddy follows him out of the bar and says, 3 books a day? You got to understand, his beer buddy hadn't read 3 books in his lifetime. He looks at him and he says, what about? John Travolta turns around and looks him straight in the eyes and says, about everything I've always wanted to know. Do you know how you can tell if your mind is alive or if it's dormant? If you know what you want to know, you're active. If you don't know what you want to know, you're dormant. It's okay to be dormant, folks, but not for a year. B. What is a B? I just explained an A. What is a bee? A bee? Without an alarm clock, you'd miss a lot of early morning meetings. I guarantee you, you're the person that stays in that bed to the last 30 seconds. You're the person that says, if I'll cut down my shaving time, if I'll cut down the shower time, if I cut down the feeding time, if I cut down breakfast, I can just have another 5 minutes worth of sleep. And then, it's amazing. How come you're so surprised that you're in a hurry? Hello? Anybody home yet? And then you get out of bed, right? Because a bee literally has to have an alarm start their day. Guess what? A bee has a hard time getting out of bed. A bee has not established the disciplines in his or her life to be working on anything to create what? Excitement, awareness, knowledge, and enthusiasm about something in their life. And because they have made those choices, they do not have upward consistent growth. They are very inconsistent with the knowledge they've obtained years ago. Their mind's not alive. I want to say this from the deepest part of my heart. We are all A's. We are all B's. What I'm asking you to do is understand how important it is. Don't go a whole year being a B. It'll catch up to you and everybody around you, your loved ones, your children, your family, everybody is going to suffer in some form, some manner, because you chose to be a B too long. I hope from my heart that I have said the right thing in the right way to help you understand that you are in control of your life. And what I want to do right now is I'm going to read you some information. And as I read this information to you, I want you in your minds to think about every word. And then when I finish, I want you to tell me, what am I? I am going to describe myself. I am going to describe what am I. I'm going to give you all the clues in the world, but then I'm going to say, can you find it? It's kind of like, where's Waldo? Listen very carefully. Don't close your eyes if you're driving, please. Ready? I am your greatest friend or your heaviest burden. I carry you on to success or tear you down to failure. And yet, I am at your complete control. Half the things you do, you turn them over to me. And I can do them effectively and very efficiently. I am easily managed. You merely have to be firm with me. I am the servant of all great men and women. I am the master of failure. I am not a machine, but I work with the efficiency of a machine, yet the intelligence of a human. Run me for profit or turn me for ruin. Make no difference to me. Be easy with me and I'll destroy you. What am I? The answer is very simple. I am your disciplines. You show me a person that has the understanding of the importance of disciplines. Meaning, what are disciplines? Disciplines is your ability to stay focused on that specific issue that's important to your life. Perfect example, met a lady the other day. She saw me speak over a year ago. She said, you know what, Brian, I went and got the book, but I only got halfway through the book. And I said to her, I said, you know, habits all start somewhere. Meaning, if you read half books, you're probably finishing most of your projects halfway. She goes, how'd you know? I said, because it all starts there. The most important thing to realize is the higher you bring your disciplines that you live with day in and day out in your own life, then the higher you bring your value that you bring to life. That, I believe, is the most important issue. I stated the three keys to long-term change in my introduction. I would like to review those one time for one reason. They're so important. Number one, are you willing to change? You can listen to this program. You can say, I hope that, hey, you know what? This was a great investment of my time. You know what? I guarantee you, as you listen to this, there was people's names that came to you in your heart, your mind, and you said what? Oh, she's got to hear this tape. He's got to hear this information. What I'm asking you to do is make sure that you share it. I will tell you right now, I didn't invent any of this material. I think a human being would be a hypocrite if they stood in front of a mic and said they are the creator of something that's been around longer than all of us put together. The only thing I can take true credit for is I've been on and off planes. I have probably done more meetings in my lifetime. If there was ever a Guinness Book of World Records, I'd probably be in there awful close. What I'm asking you to do is realize this, is these three key areas comes down to the simplest form of all. Nothing changes until you change. Once you change, everything changes. Are you really willing to change? Meaning, are you going to take something from this program, are you going to take it into your home, and you're going to make it part of your plan of your life? That's number one. Number two is, by making a plan of your life, then like I said, you have decided to learn. You've increased your knowledge. You increase your knowledge, you increase your value. Increase your value, increase what? Everybody's growth around you. And the third, which is the most important, please, all that I've taken, all that I've covered, all the ideas, all the stories, whatever you choose to use, whichever part you want to use or not use, or all of the information, please take it and share it with as many people as you can find. And they will say, man, I don't know where I would be today if I wouldn't have met you, Steve. And they're going to say, you changed my life. Now, I know there's a Steve listening to this program, and I know right now your call is to go out and change people's lives. What I'm asking you to do is now you take this information and run with it. You don't have to sit there and say, you know, I copied everything on Brian Dodge's audio program. No. What I'm asking you to do is whatever you do, if they say, where did you find this information, just remind them it's the truth of life. These are things that have been around longer than anybody, all put together. So who can take credit for it? Hello, I think we know who. So the most important is change, the second is learn, and the third is teach. I've said it, I'm going to say it again. We're not lacking students, we're not lacking students' capacities. We're lacking teachers, and we're lacking the way we get information to these people so that they can grow. The three key principles for long-term happiness. This is something personal that I have done with all three of my kids. Each day I drop them off. I ask them as they were very young, I said, what's the three most important things you must do today? Number one is say something nice to someone. Don't do it by accident. Do it because you planned it. See, life is a plan. If you plan it, you'll get the results. Number one is say something nice to someone. Go out that day that that's their day. You're going to say something very nice to them. Number two is do something nice for someone. You've really planned today is that person's day that you're going to go out of your way and you're going to do something nice for them. And you know what's interesting? If you do that every day of your life, can you imagine how many friends you'll have in your life? And the third is be your best at all times. Because realize, I'm going to talk about in the undeniable truth, there's one that's called the halo theory. I don't want to cover this now, but I'll cover it later. But the fact of it is that every day counts. And one of the quotes that I'm most quoted for today is this. One is not here to only teach, but to bring the teachers out of each one of us. I hope that I have done my job in this program to help you realize that the more you follow your heart, the more you act upon that issue of your life, the more you look for the good in a human being, the more you help people grow, because success is not an island. Success is all about what? Building people to the highest level possible. I go into companies and I meet the top producer and I challenge them. I said, your job in life is to bring these 100 people in this room to your level. And by you bringing them to your level, guess what you've just done? You have taken yourself to a whole nother level. One of the things that I always end up every seminar with is the three words that I am becoming most known for as well. They are the three words that I feel absolutely say everything. They're the three words that I say when I'm not having a good day. Folks, I have challenging days. I have wonderful days. We all have those. People say all the time to me, how come you're always, always, always moving forward? How come you're always looking for the good? How come you're always happy? That's a choice. But realize one thing. When I'm having those days that things are not moving the way they should, I always stop and I start saying to myself one thing. Life is good. You know why? Some of you listening to this program, you got a lot of problems. I got a lot of problems. Problems are okay. It's part of life. I had a very special individual that came up from a seminar one time. He said, Brian, I'd like to share a story with you. I said, I'd be honored to hear it. He said, this is a story that's been passed on from generation to generation in my family. I said, well, tell me about it. He says, it's about problems. He said, my great-great-great-grandmother said, she said, whenever you get to a point in your life that you can see nothing but your problems, then put your dress on, put your jeans on, put your coat on, get in a car, climb on a horse, jump on a buggy, and go out to the field where all the people are standing around. It's a big open field, and everybody's on the outskirts of the field. The rules of this is everybody got the opportunity to throw all their problems into the field. But now, once you've thrown your problems into the field, then you now get to pick which ones you want to go home with. And she said, you will probably pick up your own and go back home and realize you didn't have it that bad. Because everybody has problems. The three greatest words is this. Life is good, is it not? Nothing personal, but I'd rather pick that side than the other side. I love it when people walk up to me and they say, hey, Brian, how's your day going? I say, life's good. And it's so funny, they'll stop them in their track and they go, really? I go, yeah. They go, I guess you're right, it is pretty good. If you ever get to a point in life where things are not going well, just look in the mirror and say, yeah, life's good. Life's good. Life is good. Life is good. Somebody walks up to you and says, hey, how's things going today? Go, hey, life is good. Yeah, you're right. It is pretty darn good. It gets you to focus on what? What counts instead of focusing on what doesn't count. There are two pains we all live in, folks. The pain of regret and the pain of discipline. The pain of regret is you literally did not have the disciplines to read every day. You didn't have the disciplines to grow. You didn't have the disciplines to set your goals. You didn't have the disciplines to do what is necessary in life. So guess what you get to live with? Regret. Guess what happens, folks? If I came up to your house, and I hope you'll take this story to heart in the right way. If I came up to your house and I knocked on your door and I said, I want your house, I want all your money, I want your cars, and I want your family, you are to leave right now. Nothing personal, but I think there would be a fight right there at that doorstep to the death. No. Life is too smart. Life says, yes, I'm going to get that, but I'm not going to come through the front door. I'm going to go around the back door. I'm going to get you to make wrong choices. I'm going to get you to make choices that are wrong compared to right. And through those choices, you don't save money. So guess what? You lose the house. You make choices that are not right with your children because you work too much. And guess what? They don't understand you. You don't understand them. You don't know their boyfriends. You don't know their girlfriends. You don't know their teacher's names. You don't know what's important to them. And you make choices someplace else and you lose your husband or your wife. Guess what? Over a period of time, your house is gone, your car is gone, you don't have a relationship with your kids, or you're no longer involved with another person. They got it accomplished. How'd they get it accomplished? By getting you to make bad choices. The most important issue here is to realize it is your responsibility to focus on the choices you make every day. And it is our responsibility to remember, life is good. Now we're going to go ahead and talk about a program that's very dear to my heart. It's the keys to leadership. As I have said from the very beginning of this whole program, that every human being could look in the mirror every morning and see a leader in the mirror. Every person leads in one form or another every day. They walk, talk, and breathe. There are three laws to leadership. Listen to these three and see how they apply to your life. Number one is, when put in charge, take charge. How many times do we have a parent that literally will not tell their child no? How many times do we have a manager that's in a position but won't stand up and literally take charge of the situation? You know what I'm talking about. Rule number two is, it never gets better than the interview. I know that can apply to some of you, but I also realize it can apply to a lot of you. Many of us, when we're interviewing somebody, we look at them. We see that potential. We say to ourselves, in my environment, I can take this person, and this person will bloom, and they will grow, and they'll be something that they can't even recognize today. Folks, let's look at the truth. They're putting their best foot forward in that interview. If that is not good enough, do not set them up for failure. Meaning, take a look at it, realize this is not the right fit, and do not make a bad choice. Rule number three is, if you can't change the people, change the people. Think about that for a moment. You know as well as I do, there are many of us sitting here right now listening to this tape, and immediately in your mind, guess what happened? A name came. You know that person in your company. You know that person in your situation. And you know that person has had all the opportunities in the world to make choices, to change, to join, to be a part of the team, to really asset that environment. But they have chosen not to. What's unfortunate is they're still there. And guess what? Everybody in the whole company knows this person should not be here. And guess what? By you not willing to make that change, what you have created is an environment where you have lost your ability to lead. Those of you that as a father, as a mother, you have to realize one thing. The children that you have, the ones they hang around, will have an effect. It is our responsibility as a true parent. If that relationship is not a win-win, if that relationship is not a situation that will benefit everybody involved, if that relationship doesn't have the values and principles in which will continue the longevity of that human being, it is totally up to you to make the necessary changes so that that person will be in an environment that will benefit their long-term successful goals. What am I talking about? And that is very simple. When put in charge, take charge. When you're interviewing, when you're looking, make sure that you're looking at the truth, not for something that you want to find. And number three is, realize something. You have to be willing to make changes. If not, then life will make a change on you. Can we all agree? What is the number one problem in leadership? Motivation. You know what? When I'm speaking to a large audience, I always say, hey, how many of you out here are motivators? How many of you can motivate people? How many of you can get fire them up? And they all raise their hands. Some do, some don't. And then all of a sudden I look at them and says, can we all agree that nobody can motivate another person? I know some of you are saying, that's not true. That's not true. Let's look at the reality. I cannot motivate you. I can inspire you to make a choice, to make a change, to alter your way of thinking, how to make a different outcome. But I cannot motivate you every day. I can't motivate you to do something you don't want to do. What I can do is I can create an environment. I can share ideas. I can give you information that gives you the knowledge to making a different choice. And through that choice, I have changed the environment that rewards you for making that choice. Now I've motivated you because you have motivated yourself. You got up in the morning and you say, hey, I'm in a different environment now. I can do things that literally gives me benefits, not only to me, but my family and everybody around me. Now, motivation is internal. It is not external. What I hope more than anything else is to realize, through education, you motivate. People ask me all the time, are you a motivational speaker? I always look at them and I say, well, I don't look at myself as a motivational speaker. What I look at myself as a person that believes in education. We think that we as leaders must motivate by once. Think about this. If I told a person that if they did this, and if they did it for 1 year, they would have $1 million at the end of the year, then you explain to me why they don't do this. For one reason. It's not because of the wants. They wanted that $1 million. They wanted the new home. They wanted the new car. They wanted everything that they could actually get. But you know why they don't? It is because they don't believe if they did that, that it would really happen. So in reality, the most important thing is what? We think we motivate by wants, but in reality, we as great leaders, we motivate by belief. And the most important trait of a great leader is to know thyself. Folks, we all have strengths. We all have weaknesses. I've talked about that. Realize where you're strong. Realize where you're weak. But know thyself. Don't put yourself in a situation that you do not belong in. Because all you're doing is causing yourself problems and conflicts, no question about it. There's five characteristics of belief. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to go through these five. But what I want you to put yourself in is a mind frame that you're saying, all right, how do I truly know if this one person has great belief? How do I truly know if my daughter has great belief in this area? How do I know? Look at these characteristics, and number one is belief begins with knowledge. Meaning, the book we all are very familiar with, Think and Grow Rich. Isn't it amazing that the title of the book wasn't Rich and Grow Think? Hello? I mean, you got to think about it. It starts with what? Think. The most important characteristics is what? Knowledge. If a person doesn't have the knowledge, guess what? They don't have the belief. If they don't have the belief, guess what? They're probably a class clown. How do I know? I lived with it all my life. Folks, one of the greatest fears I had was reading in front of my peers. And I would become unbelievably funny when a teacher would call on me for one reason. There was no way that I was going to get up in front of my class and read. It wasn't going to happen. Why? It's not that I couldn't. I didn't have the belief that I could because I didn't have the knowledge. So instead of going after knowledge, which I didn't understand at that point, all I went after was what? A way out. Number two is belief is in your conviction. Your life has meaning. You have a reason. Most important is your heart loves what you do. Can I say something? And I hope I don't offend anybody here, but that's this. If you do not love what you do, you either find a way to fall back in love with it or you go someplace else. Life is too short for you to do something for most of your life and not love it. If you choose to stay there, I believe it's your own choice. Number three, belief is truth. You must have an honest relationship with yourself. Stop telling yourself that you can do something when in reality you can't. You have to have an honest relationship with everybody around you. Number four is belief is in your faith and confidence, meaning you have a system set up that gives you the faith and gives you the confidence that if you will do these specific areas and learn these specific skills, such as names. How do you remember people's names? Why come somebody can walk in a room and meet 100 people and introduce another to another 100? And another person can walk in the same room and not remember anybody in the room. It has nothing to do with only one thing. Their belief is that their faith and their confidence, they don't have it. So guess what? They don't have high belief. And what do they blame it on? Age. Oh, yeah. It's an age thing. Or they blame it on brain damage. You know, I don't know. It must have been something I did when I wasn't looking. They all have a reason to say why they can't do it. In reality, they just haven't chose what? To have faith and belief and confidence in technology that will give you the skill that somebody else has. We all watch what? Somebody do a trick. We look at them and go, how in the world can you do that? If they can do it, you can do it. Do you realize that? Number five, belief is ability. I'm going to say it again, ability. I'm going to say it one more time, ability. The power to have belief is a learned trait. That is something you chose to move your thought process in that direction. Then it became an ability for you to have. There are four questions that will determine your level of belief. These are so powerful, folks. Why? Because not only can you look at the questions for yourself in the mirror, but you can look at the questions and how people handle your questions in a work environment. You can look at these questions on how your children, how your spouse, how your friend uses these type of situations in your life. Because how people respond to something you've said, done, will tell you something about either what you're doing or what they're doing if you learn to listen both ways. Number one is your belief based on benefits? meaning they will only do what they're supposed to do if they gain something immediately from it. What does that tell you? That tells you that their belief is basically short when it comes to conviction, meaning their heart's not into it. It's a job. I'm only doing it because I get something from it. I'm not excited about it. I really don't see the big picture. I don't understand where we're going. That means, number two, they've lost. And you now know that by based on their responses to questions and demands or requests that you have. Number two is, how does your belief react to criticism? Whoa. Think about that one. Just think about that one for a minute. You know what? Has this ever happened to anybody? Where all of a sudden you ask a human being to do something and they blow up. And you step back and say, whoa, what did I do? And you walk out thinking, what did I do? What did I say? Instead of that, stop and say, no, wait a minute. I asked this person to go ahead and program this new software. And she or he exploded. Being a leader, being a good communicator, you use that one category that we've covered, and you said what? Their belief is very low in that area, meaning that person doesn't know how to do it. So what do? You say, I found something out about that person I didn't know yesterday. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to create an environment for that person to get into a class and learn everything there is to know about that software. So next time, guess what? They'll be excited about it. They'll probably come to me and they'll probably say, hey, let me work on this new software, would you? Because I've been learning about it and I'm so comfortable with it now and I think I can really add a lot to it. Now that's a great leader. You've taken a situation and you've literally turned it around to where that person now wants to do it, is passionate about doing it, and is excited about doing it, and came to you and asked, compared to the average leader. What do? They took it personal. They get mad. They get angry. They start yelling. They start screaming. And then what do? You either get that job done, or you're going to find a new job. You either get that situation done, or you're going to your room. You either going to do this, or you're going to lose that. That's not the way to lead. And you know what? Number three, what effects does your belief have on your talents? I talk about this all the time. There's not a human being in this world that doesn't have a talent. There's not a human being in this world that doesn't have a gift, which is one of the same. You all have gifts. You know you do. You know what your gift is. My question is, why are you not working on it? Why are you not out there doing something with it? Why are you not taking it to the highest level possible to affect as many people around you as you possibly can? I believe there's only one reason is your belief is not high enough that you believe that your talent could go anywhere. That's why. And that's sad. I hope from the deepest part of my heart that there's at least one person that listens to this one part of this program that literally looked themselves in the mirror and says, he's right. I had this gift, and this gift was given to me, and I have a short amount of time, and I'm wasting my time. I need to get to work on my gift. And that gift is going to help a lot of people. And this one tape is going to help a ton of people because you chose to take the torch and run with it because you had belief and you went to work on it. The fourth is, does your belief activate your choices? Every day, we have a choice. We have a choice to go work on it. We have a choice not to. We have a choice to get busy with things that have no meaning whatsoever, or we have a choice to go do what has all the meaning in the world. Based on your choice, again, will determine your belief. Many of you said time in and time out, oh, man, you know what? I know I should read, Brian. I know I should read. I've heard it a million times. And I go home, and, you know, I sit down, and I look at the TV, and I look at my chair, and I think, which one should I choose? And I always end up taking the TV. I don't know why. You know why? Because your belief is not so high that you understand if you'd gone to the books, where those books would have taken you. Instead, you went to the TV because they entertained you. Realize that is a very powerful piece of the leadership factor based on beliefs, because it's your choices that you make. And some people ask me, I don't know how to change my choices. I change your belief, you will change your choices. That's what a great leader can do for another. You know what? We just talked about some of the keys to leadership. Now we're going to talk about how to build a better leader. As I have said throughout this program, we are all leaders. And the more we grow, the more everything around us grows. So, how can you become a better leader in the area of life? Let's discuss seven key elements of great leadership. They are as follows. Number one, potential. You've got to be realizing your true abilities. Number two is dedication. There are no shortcuts, folks. We've all tried them. Did you get anywhere? Not. Number three, preparation. Preparation for success. Number four is determination. The refusal to give up. Number five is courage. Taking a challenge head on. Number six is concentration. Concentration is a key element. And number seven is perspective. Keeping things in proper perspective. Now what I'm going to do very quickly is I'm going to go down each of these seven. Number one was what? Potential. The biggest room in the world is the room for improvement. I think we've all heard that. You already have the potential for developing the qualities of a leader. Simply waiting to be used. Once you learn how to tap that potential, you are well on your way to high performance living with a great desire to see what you have never seen before because you have become a better giver. Everyone has potential. Your current level of developed skill is not necessarily an indication of your total potential. Although you may be able to perform only the most elementary skills in your chosen field now. You notice how I emphasize now. You can, with increased knowledge and practice, improve substantially. Great athletes start out awkward. Kids who could only dream about making the movies, which they perform with such ease today. Hello, where'd they start? Famous singers began as a youngster whose voices cracked on the high notes. Nobody was born a superhuman being. Leaders separate themselves from the ordinary by using their potential for greatness. It takes months and years of hard work, but they tap the winning ability from within and raise above the uncomfortable but less satisfying levels of mediocrity. The fact that everyone has potential offers a great deal of significance for you. Even though you currently might not look, perform, act like a winner, you have championship capabilities. All high achievers were once at the same stage of development that you are now. Do you know that? They succeeded by tapping their unused potential and having the belief in their ability to learn, practice, and dedicate. So can you. How did Norman Benson Peale overcome his attitude and become one of the most successful people in the world? Dr. Peale explained how his life was turned around one day during a college when a professor asked him to stay after class. The professor asked, "What's the matter with you?" "When I asked you the question, you get red in the face and kind of tongue-tied. When I am sure you know the material. Why don't you get over this?" At first, Dr. Peale was angry, but had to admit the professor was right. Dr. Peale stumbled out of the classroom and down the long flight of steps. Before he reached the bottom, he stopped and prayed a simple prayer. Desperate prayer. "Look, Lord, you can change a thief into an honest man or a drunk into a sober. Why can't you change a mixed up, defeated guy like me into a normal person? Why?" Nothing dramatically happened at that moment. The skies didn't part, and the lightning bolts didn't come. I mean, the world didn't stop right then. But he immediately started reading books. Hello? Have I talked about that yet so far? And listening to others who could teach him what could happen when a person learns the right things. He learned that by altering his attitude, he could tap his potential that lies deep within Dr. Norman Vincent Peale. Made an important discovery that you, too, can make. And that is, you can if you think you can. Pursue your goals with emotion. Those who become emotionally involved in pursuing their goals strive with more excitement and intensity. They are more likely to discover and draw out of their potential than those who feel no emotion at all. The key is you've got to tap your potential. Potential is number one. Dedication is number two. Paying the price. Through your study of leadership and goal setting, you have learned to count the cost of your effort. When you are really serious about becoming a leader, you must be willing to pay the price for success. Dedication is the measure of all willingness to commit yourself to the goals you set, regardless of how much work they take or how much adversity you must overcome along the way. Commitment alone does not guarantee high performance living. What it does guarantee is that you will perform the work required for success. When you want to win, achieve, or excel in any endeavor, you will stop at nothing short of completing commitment to reach your goal. What is dedication? It means, bottom line, what does dedication really mean? It means commitment to a purpose. It means you will not abandon your goal no matter what happens. You will stick by your task, remain faithful to your purpose, no matter how much work and hardship and involvement. It means you will let no obstacle block you from toward the ultimate success. Dedication means a willingness to work hard than you ever have before. You don't know how hard you can work until you put yourself in the position that failure is not an option. I'm only going one way. Because the realization of your goals is at top priority to you. Dedication works on the act as if principle. Professor William James, the father of American psychology, said, if you want to cultivate a desired attitude, you can do it by acting as if you already have it. How powerful is that? Priceless. Steps towards completing dedication. Total commitment to your goals is necessary. If you intend to succeed, to achieve that level of dedication, follow these guidelines, would you please? There's only four of them. It's not tough. Number one is, develop a burning desire for your primary purpose. What is your primary purpose? You know what? I said this before, but I'm going to say it again. Why do we have so much anger? Why do we have so much road rage? Why do we have people in retail stores throwing up their hands? I was at an airport the other day. Crack me up. I left Dallas, and I had to speak in California. I left Friday night. I literally was to arrive in California that night because I had to speak in Carmel at 9 o'clock that morning. Guess what? I didn't arrive Carmel Airport until 8:35 that morning. I was on six different planes flying from all around trying to get my way into Carmel. And you know what's interesting? I'll never forget. This guy standing right next to me says, I cannot believe I'm going to lose my mind. I have so much anger built inside of me because I've got to be on this plane and I've got to get up there. I've got to get home. All these other things are more important. And I looked at him and I said, hey, If the plane's not supposed to fly, I don't want to be up in that thing. If the air is supposed to be flowing through, I don't want to fly through it. Why are you so big a hurry to die? Realize something. The most important thing to realize is to realize that your burning desire for your primary purpose in life is to help people, is to do what your heart says, to spend time with loved ones, to reach out and touch people in a special way. I think we are so busy doing what's not important that that's why we are so angry in a world that actually is doing pretty darn good. Our economy is wonderful. Everything's going great. And you tell me why there's so many people more angry today than ever. Hello? Number two is, accept the fact that success means hard work. Today, I hear it once. I've heard it 1,000 times. Brian, can you show me somebody that knows what a good day's work is? I'm not saying that we have a bunch of lazy people out there. No, I didn't say that. But I am saying that I think we all can agree. A hard day's work is something that is priceless, priceless to anybody that wants to achieve greatness in their life. But I also talk about balance in my time management program, but in reality, what I'm saying is what? Is the ability to realize that you can get out there and really buck a lot of bales of hay. You can climb up into a barn and tuck them all away. And anybody who's ever done that on a hot summer day knows there's no better feeling at the end of the day when you get up before the sun doesn't come up and you go to bed after the sun's already gone down and literally you have exhausted yourself. You've eaten everything you could that day. But you have literally put everything out. And you know why? Because you had the feeling of accomplishment. Because you worked hard that day. You earned that right to have that internal energy just bursting from you because you looked in the mirror and you said, yeah, I'm the man. I'm the woman. I make things happen. Hey, we've gotten too far away. I'll tell you something. Terry Bradshaw taught me one time that I thought was absolutely priceless. He stood on stage, a program I did for him, and he stood up there and he says, you see this stuff dripping off my face? It doesn't hurt anybody, folks. Sweat is not bad. Number three, you resolve to stick to your purpose with a determination that is untouchable. Literally, people see you and say, where do they find the energy? Where do they find the drive? Where do they look? How are they getting there? You know why? Because you've only got one thought in your mind. You're going there. And that's what life's all about. Number four is, identify specific actions you must take to succeed and establish a plan for carrying out these actions. Most important thing to remember, if you don't have a plan, you can't carry it out. Plans are one step at a time. Could you imagine that guy shows up on the corner of a street and says, ah, you want a skyscraper? How many? Okay. But how many floors? 120 floors. Hey, no problem. Where's the blueprint? Nah, we wing it here at our company. Don't worry about a thing. We'll take care of it. We'll start digging this hole here and we'll kind of just go along. At the end, we'll kind of tell you how much it is. How many of you listen to this tape but hire that company? I don't think so. So let's look at one very important ingredient, and that is you've got to have a plan. Because remember something, if you don't have one, somebody else is going to give you one. So be dedicated. Create the dedication to pay the price. Because you know something? We either pay the price now or we pay the price later. We all pay the price. It's not something you can get away with in life. Number three, which is preparation for success. Preparation is a specific factor that allows you to understand if you're prepared, you're prepared. If you're not prepared, you're winging it. Folks, winners don't get to the level of success that people that prepare reach. The miracle of work, work to achieve meaningful goals, is the most significant and rewarding way you can spend your time and energy. Your life will be enriched and you will be more successful and happy if your work fulfills these requirements. There are four of them. Always, you to use your full potential to create an expression. Number two, fills your time with activity that is interesting to you. Isn't it amazing? When somebody's reading something's interesting to them, they have no problem. When it's not interesting to them, guess what? They got a problem. How tough is this stuff? Gives you, which is number three, gives you an opportunity to share something of yourself with another person. And the fourth is, brings you to the rewards you desire. To become a leader, be one of those few who is willing to spend countless hours preparing for success. Do you know how many hours, how many years it has taken me to be where I am today? All I can ask you to do is realize that you don't arrive by accident. You arrive because you had a plan of action and you paid the price. Achievements do not come spontaneously. They must be rehearsed. You must practice being a leader before you can reap the honors of high-performance living that it will provide you. The road will not be easy, but any worthwhile accomplishment is difficult. Count the cost in terms of dedication and time and effort. Then resolve to pay the price to attain your goals. You will be glad you did. Now that brings me to one very simple point in life. If you understand the preparation for success, then you will do what great leaders do. They look over the situation and say, boy, wouldn't you love to have that environment? Wouldn't you love to have that success? Wouldn't you love to have that recognition? And then they look at the price of preparation the person had to give to reach that level, and they were smart enough to say, I don't want to pay that price, so I don't want that, so I'm happy where I am. Very important element.